The light of Christ overcomes the darkness of sin and death. Good morning, my name is Avril and I welcome all of you who are listening to this service. And I hope that you and your families are all well. While we still can't gather together physically, and we won't open the church until we're allowed to have 100 people in it, through worshipping God, we are able to gather together spiritually. And I hope that this service will offer you comfort as you participate in it, however you choose to do that. As we gather, we affirm the diversity of our community, represented in age, gender, sexuality, culture, and ability. We affirm that all people are welcome and trust that you will find this to be a safe place for you to grow in God's love and the experience of a warm community. We are committed to loving God, growing together, partnering community, and sharing faith. We remember the original custodians of this land, the Wadawurrung, and ask for God's grace to join with them in being good stewards of this land, its waters, and diverse communities. The call to worship comes from today's Psalm, Psalm 93. We worship the God who is majestic and strong, mightier than the sound of many waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea. We worship the God who is steadfast and sure, everlastingly trustworthy. Let us worship God together.
Showers on
you enjoyed that. It comes from the Geelong NCYC, and Jan and I were dancing along to it as it was being played. Let us come before God with contrite hearts, acknowledging our sin and trusting in forgiveness. Merciful God, day by day we have failed to believe in your presence and in your promised forgiveness. We have not trusted in your power to give us everything that we need for life. We have not honoured our sisters and brothers as your beloved children. We have not forgiven others or ourselves. Give us the wisdom and faith to be your body on earth, that we may rejoice in all the gifts you have given us, to the glory of your ascended Son. Amen. By the power of the Holy Spirit, as a witness to the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus, and the assurance of pardon in Jesus' name, I proclaim that God forgives all our sins and that God is always with us. Thanks be to God. Our Bible reading again comes from the book of Acts, and this time from the very beginning, chapter 1, verse 1 to 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over the course of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. The picture book this week is The Tiny Star, written by Mem Fox and Freya Blackwood. Once upon a time, although this happens all the time, a tiny star fell to earth and turned into a baby. The people who found it loved it immediately. They took it home carefully and wrapped it warmly in a quilt all covered in stars. Everyone agreed it was the most beautiful baby they had ever seen. The baby grew rounder and rounder and taller, and even taller than that, until one day it was all grown up. It was caring and kind and loving and wise, and was loved and adored in return. It had family and friends and hopes and dreams, and a life that it lived to the full. It grew older and older still, and even older than that. The longer it lived, the more it was loved. Its family and friends took great care of it. They treated it gently and wrapped it warmly in a quilt all covered in stars. The years passed. It grew smaller and smaller, and smaller still, and even smaller than that until it was tiny once again. So tiny, it disappeared altogether. No one could believe it. They ran to each other and clung to each other, to comfort each other and cry with each other. But the tiny star hadn't vanished at all. It had merely returned to its home in the heavens, and there it remained, to rest. What a sensation it was when it was seen again, twinkling in the night sky. Every heart was lightened. Every heart began to mend. From that time onwards, everyone knew that the star they had loved so much would be there always, loving them from afar and watching over them. Forever. Today we are celebrating the Feast of the Ascension. The Ascension is so important that it gets a clause in the Apostles' Creed. One of the things that the Church says it believes about Jesus is that he ascended into heaven. But it's usually something that we forget, possibly because the image of Jesus taking off into the sky is so difficult to take seriously. I put a selection of images of the Ascension on the Church's Vimeo page, a whole range of them created from the 14th to the 20th centuries, and you'll see there how very hard it is to portray the Ascension without making it look as though Jesus has taken off like a rocket. There are only two descriptions of the Ascension in the Scriptures, and both of them were written by Luke. One's at the end of the Gospel and the one we just heard at the beginning of Acts. And they are the transition point between Luke talking about Jesus' life and Luke talking about the mission of Jesus' followers, empowered by the Holy Spirit. The reading that we heard today isn't just a description of the Ascension. Luke begins by summarising Jesus' life, death and resurrection. And he reminds Theophilus that Jesus commanded his disciples to await the coming of the Spirit in Jerusalem. This little story also answers the vital question, does Jesus' resurrection and the coming of the kingdom of God mean the restoration of the kingdom of Israel? And the answer is not in the way that the disciples think. The Holy Spirit is mentioned three times in this short introduction because Luke is preparing us for the Holy Spirit's entrance, the entrance of another manifestation of God among humanity for the next person of the Trinity. Today, the Feast of the Ascension marks the end of Jesus' time on earth, and next week, the Feast of Pentecost marks the coming of the Spirit. It's a bit like a relay race where the baton is being passed from one person of the Trinity to another. But that doesn't mean that Christ has been replaced, and it especially doesn't mean that Christ has been replaced by the Christian community that became the Church. What it means is that Christ is present with the community in a new way through the Holy Spirit. It's one of the mysteries and the gifts of the Trinity, that Father, Son, and Spirit are one. By ascending to the Father, Christ is able to relate to humanity beyond the limits in time and space. Jesus lived and died in one country at one time interacting with a very small group of people. But the Holy Spirit is accessible to everyone, to all people, all the time. And this is how and why we can be in relationship with Christ, despite the fact that we are living 2,000 years after his birth, on the other side of the world from his birthplace. And this is the meaning of the Ascension. This is what we celebrate. Not so much that Jesus has left the earth, but that God is available to us in a new way through the Holy Spirit, that Jesus is still with us in a way that he couldn't be when he was on earth. There's two more reasons for us to affirm and celebrate the Ascension, apart from this increased availability of Jesus. The incarnation brought heaven to earth. The Ascension brings earth to heaven. The God who has experienced everything that it means to be human and who understands our humanity from the inside is now in heaven, able to intercede and advocate for all of us. In the incarnation, God came down and took on humanity. In the Ascension, humanity is raised and now becomes part of God in heaven. And the other reason we celebrate the Ascension is that it reminds us again who Jesus Christ truly is. The Ascension tells us that Jesus is equal with the Father, seated at the Father's right hand, having authority over the whole world. And so we joyfully proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Lord, the ruler of everything in our lives, and we have no greater allegiance. Nothing commands our attention in the way that Jesus does. And so for all these reasons, the Ascension is very important and is something to be celebrated, even though images of it do leave us with, you know, a picture of Jesus' feet, you know, disappearing up into clouds. Let us pray. Loving God, we know that nothing can separate us from you. Continue to surround us with your love during this time of crisis. Be with every member of the Western Heights community. Continue to give us the courage, the patience, and the kindness we need as isolation stretches on. Reassure us that we are still gathered together through you, even when we cannot meet. We pray for all those who have kept working in the community through this crisis, all the medical staff, the emergency services workers, the supermarket employees and freight workers, those who found new ways of working from home, those who are now slowly and carefully returning to work. We pray for those who have lost their jobs, who are facing an uncertain future. We pray for the homeless and those in insecure housing, and for those whose homes have not been safe places during this time of lockdown. We pray for our leaders, for Scott Morrison and Daniel Andrews, and for Chief Medical Officers Brendan Murphy and Brett Sutton. As we begin the steps that will take us out of lockdown, give them your wisdom and help them to make the best decisions, not the ones that are politically expedient. Loving God, we know that we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. Help us to continue to be that one body in this difficult time. In the name of your Son, our Lord, Mother, and Friend, Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Thank you. goodness, that comes from the Canberra NCYC. I think in 1993, I was 19 years old, so that is taking me back to the days of my youth. I hope you enjoyed it as well. And you're very lucky that this is only audio, and so you didn't see Jan and I bopping along to it. The blessing. In your words and in your lives, wherever you may be in the world, bear witness to the Christ who has ascended to be everywhere present. And as you come to know him, may God give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. May Christ Jesus lift up his hands and bless you. And may the Spirit open to you all the riches of Christ's inheritance. Amen.